Hello, fellow lovers of all things green. I'm Mary Stone, and welcome to Garden Dilemmas, Delights, and Discoveries. It's not only about gardens, it's about nature's inspirations, about grasping the glories of the world around us, gathering what we learn from Mother Nature, and carrying these lessons into our garden of life. So let's jump in the spirit of learning from each other. We have lots to talk about. Hello there, it's Mary Stone, and welcome to the screen porch on a very first day of spring. I guess it officially arrived in the evening yesterday, and what a warm, sunny day we are greeted with. Such a blessing to have a new season of growth ahead. While walking Jolie, there was a crocus that sprouted amongst the snowdrops, which brings a smile. I want to welcome the new subscribers to our weekly newsletter. Thank you. I feel like I have new friends, which is so nice. In fact, in this week's story, one of the new friends will be mentioned. During the week, I heard from a few of you asking how to start a meadow, and so I thought I would chat again with Dennis Breedy, who we featured in last week's story, and visiting him led into a very fun surprise, a bird that was doing a mating dance, and it starts like this. Hello, fellow listeners and readers. What fun to witness the mating calls of a woodcock, invited by my birder buddy Dennis Breedy. Microphone in hand, I captured the unusually loud, nasally insect-like sound while the male is on the ground, followed by a melodic call while swooping through the air. And we could see the little fellow, but I couldn't grab a photo of him, so thankfully, Dennis's friend Blaine, who's the scientist who staged the moth counts we spoke about last time, is a photographer, and he shared these fantastic photos that you'll want to see. There'll be a link in the show notes. And what's really fun is he is one of the friends I'm telling you about that I've only met virtually, but I'm going to be part of the next moth count, so I look forward to meeting him in person. How the woodcock swooped quickly from side to side in song with his light underbelly glowing in the dusk sky intrigued me the most. It reminds me of a bat flitting through the night sky feeding. That, and his charming appearance, big-beaked, big eyes high on his head, and a body about robin-sized, but shaped like a football.
Yeah, just a little piece like this has all
that. Unbelievable.
You know?
And tonight we're going to be witnessing the mating calls of woodcocks.
Yes, American woodcock.
American woodcock. So tell me what I should know before I witness this.
Well, they're a little bird. They're about the size of a little football, and they have a real long beak, uh-huh. And they're actually considered a shore bird, even though they breed inland. Hmm. And their eyes are kind of toward the top of their head rather than the side of their head. Hmm. And they really cryptic. They blend right in with the field, the browns and the light tans, and they'll blend right in. And they have what they call a lek. A lek is kind of like a display area where mm-hmm. they attract females. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, my meadow, you know, since the day I moved in, every spring, they come here. I used to get six. Now I'm maybe there's two or three. And they do their thing. They squat down and they make this noise. I can't even explain it, but it's...
Hopefully we'll get it on the mic.
It's a weird noise. And then they do that like 25 times, and then they burst up in the air, way up in the top of this, you know, maybe 500, 600 feet up, and they twitter around in circles.
Wow.
And they'll come down. If you put your chair close to where they went up, you run over there and put your chair and sit down, don't move. They'll come down sometimes 20 feet away from you. You can watch them do their thing.
Wow.
It's really cool. They open their mouth and they make the noise.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
So it's the male?
Yeah, it's the male, and I guess they attract the females, which, you know, they're so cryptic, you can't even tell they're in there, you know. They're probably getting close. I don't know. I never saw a mate there, but I just see the display going on.
Oh, my
which,
God.
Which is cool, is they've been doing it who knows how many years, but I've been here 17. There's no way that the ones doing it now were alive 17 years ago.
Right.
They don't nest here. They nest nearby, but they don't nest in my meadow. How do the young know to do it in this meadow? We know nothing about nature. It's just amazing how every year there they are. You know, it's not the same ones. And maybe 2 years in a row might be the same ones, but they don't live that long.
Right.
And so it's generations are coming here and doing that. Just like out west, the grouse leks, they have, you know, sage grouse and those, they have the same type of thing where they display.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just so cool.
Wow.
Most people don't even know they exist.
Well, so this is going to be
fun.
Yeah,
really cool bird.
Yeah.
They do it early in the morning, right before, like, as the sun's starting to come up, and they do it in the evening when the sun's going down, so mm-hmm. it's not totally bright out when they're doing it.
How many weeks does this go on?
Well, they arrive here on February 23rd, and they'll do it. I've had them do it all summer, but most of the time it's from February to about April 10th, and I guess they're nesting after that, and then once in a while they'll just do their thing wherever they are.
The woodcock's plumage blends into the foliage and has shy demeanor, making them hard to see, other than at dusk and dawn during mating season, when the males show off for the ladies with their loud calls and aerial acrobats. Boys will be boys. I told the tale of last summer when Jolie got a scent near the parking spot at Blue Mountain Lake. I followed her and saw what I now know was a docile and adorable woodcock blending into the foliage. The long-beaked bird reminds me of a waterfowl rather than the bird you see around here. They nest near wet spots or marshes, likely why the little fellow chose Blue Mountain Lake. Earlier, I was drafting a story of how to start a meadow as a follow-up to last week's story, and I thought Dennis could share a few tips. As it turns out, his meadow was there when he bought the property almost 18 years ago. He enhanced it by removing invasive plants and keeping volunteer woody plants in check. Recall that meadows wish to be forests, as we discussed last time. But Dennis shared the protocol of a plot that the Land Conservancy is developing. They're converting a field that's now inundated with mugwort into a meadow. It's on the South Branch Preserve in Mount Olive, New Jersey. The chrysanthemum-looking plumy colonies of invasive mugwort, which is Artemisia vulgaris, are also known as common wormwood. Even the name sounds nasty. Their aggressive underground stems, called rhizomes, send out roots and shoots that travel 2 feet below the surface, making it a miserable invader to squelch. I hadn't known the benefits of using it as an insect repellent by crushing the stems and applying the juice, but the over-the-head, high, 2-acre patch is more repellent than anyone can use. And Dennis described a several-year remedy underway. And the nifty thing about this strategy is it's one that we can use to develop a meadow as well. There are other ways to do it. But even if you don't have nasty mugwort, this is a really unique way to develop a meadow. And it's fun to hear it in Dennis's voice.
Wildflowers.
Yeah.
Not even wildflowers, just mugwort. You know, really bad invasive mugwort. It was like 7 feet high, the whole meadow.
Oh, wow.
So we have a farmer that we went to, and he's really good. He's organic.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me the steps that I need to do to bring that to a wildflower meadow.
Oh.
And it's just a lot of steps if you want to do it really right. I mean, it costs a lot normally. So what I do is I first I mowed it as low as I just kept mowing and mowing as low as I could, maybe 2 inches, three inches
mm-hmm.
for the whole year. Just mow.
Right.
It doesn't, nothing will go to seed.
Right.
Then the next year I was tilling it. I know they don't like you to till, but I don't think there's any other way. We're not using chemicals.
Right.
So you just till, not deep till, but maybe
mow mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. So like 6 inches deep?
Yeah, about six, and you turn it over, and the mugwort has deep roots.
Oh,
seven,
totally.
7, 8 inches. So you just keep turning over. You leave it laying on the surface. The sun bakes it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep doing it all summer long.
Like how often?
Well, you'll know when you start seeing more stuff growing up, you know, that high, you till it again.
Okay.
And then we got a little bit late, but last mid-September, we planted farm peas. And that adds nitrogen to
sure.
the soil.
Yeah.
And also blocks whatever else is trying to grow in there the last 2 months of the
season. So like a cover crop.
Yeah, like a cover crop.
Right.
And now I'll mow it again in the spring. Not mow it. I'll till it again in the spring. And then we're going to plant buckwheat. Buckwheat has very large leaves, and it shades everything over. You can get it to flower, but you don't want it to seed because then it just spreads the seed.
Yeah.
But it's a very good ground cover. It grows maybe 3 feet high and has big, wide leaves.
It's perennial, right?
I believe it's an annual, but it recedes
right.
all over the place. So you have to make sure you take care of it before, like early July.
Mm-hmm.
And then you till that under again, maybe till one or two more times. And then in the fall, I order seeds. I'm going to plant like 70 pounds worth of wildflower seeds and also grasses that are short grasses, no more than 3 feet high. I don't want the real tall ones because mm-hmm. they'll compete with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing takes 5 years.
Sure.
To really have it come out, you know, really nice. And there's a lot of maintaining after that, too. You have to mow it. What we want to do is mow half every other year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the shrubs don't come back in there.
Right.
So back to the beautifully beaked woodcock. It's a popular gaming bird, which makes me so sad. I can appreciate hunting for food, but for gaming, well, that's what clay pigeons are for, though some consider them a flavorful feast. Not the clay pigeons. Maybe they should eat those, huh? That's funny. Per Cornell Lab's All About Birds, populations declined between 1966 and 2019, though hunting tallies were down considerably from 1.5 million per year in the 1970s to 170,000 in 2020. They write the population decline may relate to habitat loss due to development and pesticides used to treat forest insects. Plus, 60% of their food is earthworms, making them vulnerable to contaminants in the soil. They feed on flies, beetles, ants, snails, millipedes, spiders as well, and small amounts of plant material. They have a nifty way of rocking back and forth, moving their weight from foot to inspire critters underground to move, to hear or feel the vibrations. What a nifty strategy, don't you think? Mother Nature puts on quite a dance. May more of us learn to dance along with her, to nurture rather than disrupt and contaminate our dear earth. Garden dilemmas? AskMaryStone.com. Yes, indeed, nature reveals itself in perfect timing. We cannot control it, just as we can't control our lives, and fiddling with nature, interfering with it, never works. It throws off the balance of things. Haven't we proven that enough? So let nature dance, and dance along with it. Thank you, Dennis, for sharing your meadow with us and for the privilege of having you as a friend and for all the new friends that are joining us in learning and growing in the garden of life. It means so much. And for those of you that want to subscribe to the newsletter, which is free, of course, you can go onto the website. The link is in the show notes, AskMaryStone.com, and there's a little sign-up form there. Thanks so much for coming by. I always look forward to our chats together. And if you have as well, please share the podcast with a friend or two so more can join us. Thanks so much. Have a great day. You can follow Garden Dilemmas on Facebook or online at gardendilemmas.com and on Instagram at #MaryElaineStone. Garden Dilemmas, Delights and Discoveries is produced by Alex Bartling. Thanks for coming by. I look forward to chatting again from my screen porch. And always remember to embrace the unexpected in this garden of life. Have a great day.